I'm breaking my week.
44 on May 24th. That ball is ripped to right. Way out of here. Carlos Beltran goes up for tank. It's 5-0 Astros.
It only took me 20 years to get to this position, but you know what? I'm happy, I'm blessed, and I want to give the glory and the honor to God for this moment.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big shows. We continue to roll on as you kind of had the feeling when the Astros won the World Series that this was it for Carlos Beltran, the way he was crying, how emotional he got, everything he had been through the course of the season, both on and off the field with everything that happened with Hurricane Harvey here, with the devastation in Puerto Rico. Obviously, he didn't hit the ball the way he had in the past and the way he expected to. And today he made it official through the Players Tribune that he was going to call it a career. And what a career it was. Jeff Passan already on record as saying, I will vote for Carlos Beltran on the first ballot he appears on for the Hall of Fame. There's no argument not to, because he had power, speed, glove, postseason excellence. It's a chock full resume, a pretty clear yes for me.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know about first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was a little, that's the only thing that I was questioning as
but
well.
But I think he's a Hall of Famer. I have no problem with, you know, if he, I think I would be more upset that he didn't make it than if he was first ballot, but yeah, he's somewhere in between.
So then there becomes the immediate question, too, that we already addressed on this show about whether he becomes a coach and how quickly he becomes a coach. You said he needs some seasoning in the minor leagues.
Yep.
We'll see what happens, because A.J. Hinch has holes to fill on his staff, because he's lost his bullpen coach. Craig Bjornsson is going to the Red Sox with Alex Cora. He lost his first base coach in Rich Dower, who just decided to call it a career and retire. And obviously he lost his bench coach, Alex Cora, who's going to the Red Sox. So he's got some spots to fill. Good news is the very important coaches that he needs to retain are still going to be on the squad. That means Brett Strom still is the pitching coach. That means that your man, Gary Pettis, is still the third base coach. Their hitting coach is back. So those three main positions are still back, but it looks like AJ's got a little bit of work to do lobbying to get some new guys on his staff.
That always happens, though. You know what I mean? When you have a team that goes out and wins the World Series, everyone on that team becomes a hot commodity. It doesn't matter who it is, from the top all the way to the bottom. Everybody becomes a commodity that others want, because they want that experience. They want whatever it is, that intangible, whatever got that World Series for that person, it becomes more valuable to them. So not a surprise that they're losing some of these coaches and so forth. And that's the job that, that you know, part of the front office has to do is replace them. So.
Yeah, and they already hired the Yankees' third base coach to replace Cora as the
which I think
coach.
Was a good hire. I think that was a good hire as well. I was looking up stats for Beltran, and I was looking. So they have him listed as a center fielder. And I was looking at different, you know, where does he rank among other center fielders?
When's the last time he played center field?
It's been a while, but he was a center fielder, and when, you know, in KC, even when he came to Houston, I mean, I think he played right field in Houston. But I think he was known to be a center fielder in his heyday. But they have his WAR for his career is 69.8, which puts him eighth among center fielders, behind Mays, Cobb, Speaker, Mantle, Griffey, DiMaggio, and Snyder. And then they have the average of 19 Hall of Famers at this position is 71.2. So he's right around that from that. He's ahead of Kenny Lofton, Mike Trout, Andrew Jones, and also ahead of several Hall of Famers like Ashburn, Dawson, and Hamilton. So I think he's in. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. when you're ahead of Mike Trout on WAR and all those other numbers, that bodes well for you. And plus, he's right. I mean, Duke Snyder was a 66, so he's above that. DiMaggio was a 78, so he's about 10 points behind that. But I think he's in. I don't think there's statistically a reason to not let him in.
No, and I mean, look, his body of work is one thing, and if you actually had the eye test of being able to watch that guy play, and you people in Houston were blessed when you got him in basically his heyday,
yep.
And he was a one-man wrecking crew. That one playoff run, was it? Wasn't 05, it was...
I think it was... I would have to go back and look.
Was it 04? It was the year they lost to the Cardinals?
Yeah. I got to go back and look.
Boy, he was devastating.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right, though. He was.
Yeah, I mean, well, he everything, too. The speed, his glove, all the plays he made in center field.
Yeah.
And then how many long balls. I mean, just an amazing, amazing baseball player and a better human being. And that's what you hear across the board. You even mentioned how he was the intermediary between Hugh Darvish and Yuli Gurriel in that situation in the World Series. I mean, this guy is all class.
9-time All-Star, 3-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time Silver Slugger Award, All-Rookie of the Year in 99, 30-30 Club, MLB Player of the Month Award in 2004, 10-time Player of the Week, won the Roberto Clemente Award. I mean, his resume is really good. And he's got the World Series ring now, so that helps.
And he even said that Clemente Award means more to him than just about anything, too, which shows you what kind of person he is.
Oh, yeah.
So very cool, very classy. Lots of tweets rolling in. Verlander and A.J. Hinch and everybody out there giving their best wishes, warm regards, and basically saying what we just said here. So Carlos Beltran is going to retire, but he said he wants to stay in the game of baseball. And if he does, I'm sure someone will find a spot for him for all those reasons that we just mentioned.
Yep. Yep, yep. He'll make a good coach one day. I do believe that. Somebody said, this was from Grizz in San Marcos. What sport, now this is for you too, Nick. What sport would y'all be the most excited about to win a championship as a Houstonian?
Houston Sabercats, no question.
A damn rugby title to be the initial winner. That'd be big.
Man. You fired that off with no hesitation. Good for you, bud.
I mean, look, for the city of Houston and for the state of Texas, we say it all the time. It's a football state. You know, the Cowboys haven't won one since.
But this is you, not the city. What sport would y'all be the most excited about?
I think it just happened.
Me too. I'm a baseball
guy. Without question, baseball.
I'm a baseball guy. Would a Super Bowl be great for the Texans? Yep.
Yep.
Would it have been meant more if it was the Oilers? Yep. Mm-hmm. For me, anyways. But it would
still
be cool.
What I was going with is from a Houstonian's perspective, taking me out of the equation, I would think football would mean the most simply because it's such a football state and a football city, and football is king in these parts.
I was initially going to say football too, but after what I saw with the World Series and how happy people were and stuff like that, this win probably means more to the city than anything the sports world has seen for a while, at least within this city only.
Because for me, when I think back to my childhood, I don't remember going to an Oilers game. I don't remember my dad taking me and sitting with him and watching. And I remember going to Astros games. You know what I mean? I remember going with my mom. I remember those, but I don't remember the football games. I remember watching them at home.
Saw a game in the Astrodome, but I never saw an Oilers game. So I see what you're saying.
There's the emotional ties to family and your childhood and everything else for me, which is why, and plus I love baseball more than I do football and basketball, and I always have. I mean, there was a stretch where right up before they started losing 100 games a season where my wife and I didn't miss an opening day from almost a decade. And I mean, that's been that sport for me. So it was cool to see it. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I would be excited if the Texans won a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Do not get me wrong.
Would have been super cool if they did it when the Super Bowl was here.
Yeah.
But
that would have been even better. So that would be exciting for me, and I would be happy as a fan, but this one just for me would mean so much more.
Yeah, I'm with you. For me personally, it was baseball. And I endured watching those 100 lost seasons, and ever since I've been here, because I've always been a baseball guy anyway, I've been a fan of that franchise, that team, and I really doubted how quickly they could turn it around. And thanks to Jeff Luhnow and the way he rebuilt the farm system and the guys that he drafted, it was fun to watch that team grow. And the whole thing come to fruition, and it was, I mean, that was one hell of a run, and those games, you couldn't ask for more. For me personally, I saw it, so I was good with it. But I think from the city of Houston, state of Texas perspective, and because the Cowboys haven't won one since, I think they created dirt, for the state of Texas, I think everybody would love to see a football title come back to the state.
Oh, no doubt.
No.
Somebody wanted to know, will Beltran go into the Hall of Fame as an Astro?
No.
I don't think so.
But will he go in as
Royal? What sport is it that they don't do the team? Is that basketball?
I think it's basketball.
Is it that they just put the player in, they don't do it by team?
I think so. Okay. Because there's no cap to be worn or helmet. But
okay.
I think so. But we can check on that. But, And didn't you say someone on Twitter had questions about Bill O'Brien, if this is indeed?
Yep. Somebody wanted to know if this is his last year because everyone's sick of his crap, who would replace him? And that's a good question. We can...
Yeah, we'll get that on the flip side. That's a great question to get into. And would Rick Smith hang around? Or would he be part of the cleaning house, so to speak? So we got plenty we can get to, plenty to talk about. And if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Just for a little fun.
Oh, 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 yeah. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back with more of The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on. Nick, Howard Eskin's going to join us.
At the bottom of the hour.
Bottom of the hour, Philadelphia legend Howard Eskin.
Sports 94 WIP.
Media for a long period of time there in Philly. Was tight with Charles Barkley. He stirred up a little controversy this weekend by taking a few shots at Dak Prescott without Ezekiel Elliott. And Cole Beasley got on Twitter and went back at him. And Howard didn't back down. He basically said, we'll see you Sunday because the Eagles play the Cowboys and we'll see what goes on. And that should be an interesting couple media sessions. So we'll ask him about
that. You think he'll show up face-to-face and do some interviews or try
He's a Philly guy, so I don't think he's backing down from anything. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Nice.
Every once in a while, you'll find a reporter that doesn't back down. It's never a surprise when it's a Philly guy.
Yeah, or a Boston guy, right?
Right.
So just to clarify, the Hall of Fame used to let players pick their caps that they would represent them. Now they do not. The Hall of Fame votes on what cap will represent that player. So in the case of Carlos Beltran, if you look at service and where he played and what he did, my guess is it will, in this order, it will probably be Mets and then Royals.
Really?
And then none others would matter. Yeah. So he
played more time for the Mets than the Royals?
No, but he did more with the Mets than he did with the Royals. So when he was with the Royals from 98 to 2003 or 2004, he had one All-Star appearance, the Rookie of the Year, and then he was, you know, top 10 in MVP vote. He was ninth in 2003 for MVP voting, but that's it. When he once he went to the Mets, remember that was after
the Astros.
That was kind of his coming out party to the world. So he made the All-Star team in 2005, 2006, 2007. He won a Gold Glove in 2008. Was an All-Star again in 2009. His last year there was 2011 when he was traded, but he was also an All-Star in that year. So from 2005 to 2011, he went to, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 All-Star games, and he only made one the entire time in KC. My guess is he'll go in as a Met.
Yeah, he was – I just always imagined him – I mean, pictured him as being a Royal on some sucky teams. He was the best player head and shoulders.
All his Gold Gloves were in New York with the Mets, all his Silver Slugger awards. I mean, he made the All-Star team in St. Louis his 2 years there and once as a Yankee.
Some pictures, too. Boy, the outfield – back then in Kansas City,
yeah,
was not too shabby.
No.
It was him and Johnny Damon.
Yep. Johnny Damon was a beast, too.
Yeah, and I forgot, but they had one other, like, really good.
Jermaine Dye was after Beltran, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But they had some good outfield. But that outfield that Beltran had in Kansas City, boy, it was
that
it was
Royals pretty... team for a couple of years there had some young studs.
Yep. And they were like the A's. They kept just letting them go and getting rid of them and trying to rebuild. And
they were cheap. Well, their market wasn't big.
Yeah, market hurt them a lot.
Yep.
So we got that. Now, you got a text a while back, and it brought up some questions that you and I were having off air. But someone texted and asked if Bill O'Brien would go, who would you replace him with?
Yep.
And then my question to you would be, would Rick Smith go as well because you want a fresh start? Now, for as much as we talked about Rick Smith, and I've been critical of Rick Smith, I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think no matter what happens with the coaching position, I don't think Rick Smith goes anywhere. He's just too tight with the McNairs. I just don't see it happening. You guys may differ in opinion, and that's great, and I'd love to hear it. But from my perspective, as much as I think he should, I don't think he goes anywhere.
I don't know. I don't know. First of all, I want to preface this by saying I don't think anything happens this year because of all the injuries that this team has suffered. you don't know what could have been. You saw with Deshaun Watson, you saw glimpses of what this team can do offensively. You know what this team can do with a healthy J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney on the other side, Whitney Mercilus, Brian Cushing. I don't think anything happens because everyone's got the built-in excuse of, hey, man, sometimes you just injuries happen and you can't control that. It's the NFL. It's a violent game. And, you know, we'll get them next year. So I'll preface it by saying that. Now, if wholesale changes are happening, I think it's going to include Rick Smith. I think it should include Rick Smith as a wholesale change, but I don't know if it would. For some reason, man, McNair just...
He's got a seat at that holiday table coming up with the holidays. Thanksgiving does. And Christmas, he's at the McNair's if he wants.
He does.
And that means something. He's not going anywhere. But I think that I agree with you that if he wants to stay, Bill O'Brien probably would get that, even though he would be a lame duck with 1 year left on his deal. But I think that the biggest thing is, like I said, the messages, the subliminal messages, the things that he's been sending out, the cryptic messages and all of his quotes and everything like that, it bothers him he doesn't have any say in personnel. It seems like he and Rick Smith, even Sarah Barshop has told us, that relationship doesn't seem to be good. It may be getting worse. And it seems like he's almost asking for it.
Yeah.
When you come out and say, I haven't done a good job coaching this year.
I haven't noted. I mean, that's standard line. I mean, he's been doing that for years. And then he follows that up with, oh, we made the playoffs, 9-7, won the AFC. Like, okay, we get it. But I think that's the standard line for him. But I didn't notice it, but you might be right.
Yeah, I don't think that Mr. McNair took kindly to the fact that I'm with my players. I mean, and that one.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't think that Rick took too kindly to the fact that I don't have a say in anything with personnel, so I'll just do my job.
You think he's just forcing their hand? Is that what you're saying?
I really do. Okay. I think he's forcing their hand and saying, you know, look, let's just part ways after this year. Because it's just. But at the same time, if you're a football coach and you know you got that guy, you got the guy, you finally got the guy, and he's sitting there, and even after an unfortunate knee injury, he's going to be back, and he is going to be good for you. Why would you want to walk away from that situation? Could you just not negotiate and say, can I get a little say-so in personnel? Can I get this or that? Can we work some things out? Because wherever you go elsewhere, it's not going to be that good. Because that cupboard is pretty...
Depending on where you go.
Well, but that cupboard is pretty stacked.
Oh, you're talking about talent-wise.
Yeah, you're
right. Because you're going to go somewhere... You're either going back to college, where you've got to now recruit again and do all those things.
But all your BS and all your power trips work better in college.
But I don't know that he goes back. I think he can get a job like New York.
OC. Or, he could be an OC.
No, I mean, he could be a head job. Yeah, I mean, you look what he's done. Yeah. When Bill O'Brien hits the market, if he hits the market, and again, this is all speculation.
Right.
But if he hits the market, you think about his resume. One losing season, and it's because I lost Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt. You go out and win with that team and tell me how you do.
He may not finish with a losing record, but it looks like it.
Well, I think he's definitely finishing with a losing record. But then, you look at his resume before that with 9 quarterbacks, which only the Browns have been worse over that same span. And the fact that he was able to make the playoffs and never had a losing season. He's never had a team start 3-6 until now. That includes college.
Right.
So I think he has a good enough resume to go to a team like Cleveland, to go to a team like the Giants, to go somewhere and say, I can win, you know what I mean? And I've proven that. And I can do it without a QB. So I think he's got the resume to be able to get a head coaching job somewhere else.
Even though all the guys that I bring in are QBs that I believe that I've whispered
but
to.
But how easy is it to say, hey, those were all Rick Smith's picks. Those weren't mine.
Oh, sure. It's easy to say.
I wanted Deshaun Watson, and look what I did with him. I mean, it's so easy to do that. You know what I'm saying? But as far as names, who would you say?
I'm telling you right now, man. Okay. It'll be a hot commodity. I think that everybody will look at that cupboard and also look at Deshaun Watson coming back and go, look, that's not as bad a team as the record's going to show, and that's going to be a situation where I can turn it around in a hurry, and I've got the resources to do it. So I think everybody's going to look at it and want to be a part of it. Of course, I think the big names will be out there. I think that people will throw Gruden into the mix. There's a lot of people that are already saying that Gruden has had conversations with the University of Tennessee now that Butch Jones is out about that job, and that he had them even before Jones was relieved of his duties this last week. So that'll be interesting. I think Gruden's name will come up. And I think Gruden's an idiot if he really does want to coach again to not look at that situation and know what he's sitting on and know with his capabilities as a head coach and what he can bring to the table that he could do something with that situation.
With the Texans?
Yeah. Okay. I think he would love that. I mean, he knows the defense is in place for the most part. If they come back healthy, he knows that he'll be able to try and piece together and go out and get the pieces that he's missing in the secondary or other ways, places to make sure that the secondary is shoring up. And then you just have to make sure you get offensive linemen, because we said that should be the top priority.
So you think it's Gruden?
I haven't really thought about it that hard, but the first name that comes to mind, as a guy that I would love coaching this team, I think John Gruden would be fantastic.
I think there's some names out there that some would be new, some would be retreads.
I don't want a coordinator, though. I don't want one of these.
Well, you could look at like a Josh McDaniels, right? I mean, you look at in New England.
Right, and they said last night he's going to be a hot commodity.
Yeah, on the other side of the ball, Matt Patricia. It might be a guy that would make sense to get a shot as a head coach. I don't think they promote from within, so no, I don't think Mike Vrabel is going to be the guy. Romeo Crennel might be an option. I mean, he is the assistant head coach. Don't sleep on that either. There's names like Jim Bob Cooter. That's a hot commodity out there.
Coordinator for the Lions.
Yep. There is the retreads, like you said. You know what I mean? You've got the Grudens of the world, or what's his name? Mike McCoy. Guys like that have been around the block a little bit. But I could see this Texans team getting a young but dynamic offensive coordinator. Maybe like I said, Josh McDaniels makes sense because he's been a head coach before. It didn't go well. He went back and got more seasoning in New England.
But you get another New England guy here.
They love him, though.
I know.
That's why
work.
It makes
sense.
O'Brien, they just love those guys.
Oh, man.
They love it. That's what Bob McNair wants, that New England tradition. That's what that's why they keep doing it. That's
what
he
wants.
Who do you
want? If you're out there listening to the show, and if hypothetical, of course, but if you could pick another head coach for this squad going forward with Deshaun Watson coming back and everything that you have on this team, who would you want? Who's out there that would make sense to you that you would think that would really fire me?
I tell you what, if he lost his job, if Marvin Lewis loses his job, I'd seriously consider Marvin Lewis.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, seriously, that guy's lost. Him. He lost that locker room years ago, and they've let him get away with it.
I would seriously consider him, though.
What's next for you? Tell me you want Jeff
Fisher? I can see D-Hop reacting well to a guy like
yeah. I think the whole team would. I mean, I think he's a player's coach.
After the break, Barry throws Jeff Fisher's hat into the ring to get in there.
Wouldn't
to
do that.
Come back to Houston and coach.
Wouldn't do
no?
that. Not okay. in a million years.
After the break, we're going to have Howard Eskin on. He's the guy that stirred it up, or got Cole Beasley stirred up after the game yesterday for the Cowboys. They got into a back and forth, and lo and behold, Howard, who's the sideline reporter for 94 WIP in Philly for Eagles games. And the Eagles are going to take on the Cowboys this week. That could make for some interesting fodder during the week. We'll ask him if he'll get into it and maybe ask Cole Beasley a few questions this week. But he'll join us next. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about more football and anything that's on your mind. Give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter, ESPN97.5. I'm a brush hitter. It's a second twist up
for Chicago. Rolling with the Miami. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're coming out of the midway point of our big show. We're out of halftime. We're ready to go for the third quarter as we continue to roll on. 90 in the books and 90 in the windshield as we continue to move forward. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5. We have someone on the line that should be an interesting conversation to have. He is a legend in the city of Philadelphia. And I don't want to say that like he's aged or anything, but he has done it all in the city of Philadelphia. Fox 29 News, he's got his own radio show. He's a sideline reporter for the Eagles on 94 WIP. And also, he so happens to have gotten into a little back and forth on Twitter in the social media world with one Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys after this last week's game between the Cowboys and the Falcons. We welcome in Howard Eskin. Howard, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with us.
No problem. It's always a pleasure to have some idiot player respond to me on Twitter.
So, Howard, before we get into all that,
I'm already happy.
It's
this
fantastic.
Is great.
You and I have a mutual friend, I believe, the Round Mounder Rebound, and I know that he's known you for a long period of time. But you've been in the business a long time. How much do you long for the days when guys were just honest and tough and thick-skinned and could handle whatever came at them and just decided that they don't have to comment on everything and be so sensitive?
Well, I don't know if I long for the days. I talk to people about I try to keep it real, and I say that in the truest sense of the word, that you got to be honest with people, and if you have an opinion, don't be afraid to express it, and don't let people intimidate you with what they don't like about what you say. Now, I don't respond to everybody on Twitter, because a lot of those people are just twittiots, as I call them, and they're haters. So Twitter tends to be at times a haven for haters. So you got to just, but I'll respond to people and I'll get back to people. And certainly I responded to the Dallas Cowboy lightweight Cole Beasley, which is okay. I mean, it's just, I have no idea why he even, I have no idea why he even responded to my tweet. I have no idea, but hey, it is what it is. So it's no problem, but I'll respond to most people.
Now, Howard, do you think this is just a matter of Ezekiel Elliott is that good and the face of that franchise right now, or did the offensive line let them down? I mean, what was the reasoning behind why you said what you said?
Well, see, here we deal in Philadelphia, and every town has a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans. They're all over. Why they're all over the place, I have no idea. People that have never been to Dallas, have no connection with Dallas. So we have that here in Philadelphia. All right. So I deal with it all the time. And last year, we heard all about Dak Prescott. Hey, listen, he had a great year. But I contended last year, and then there was the comparison to Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz was on the Dallas Cowboy team and Dak Prescott was on the Eagles team, now the Eagles had no wide receivers, had running backs that were hurt all the time, the offensive line, you had a suspension and multiple injuries, that Dak Prescott would have had the same numbers, if that, as Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz would have probably had the same or better numbers than Dak Prescott if you flip the two guys around at a different team. So that's kind of where it started. And my contention with Dak Prescott, who's a nice quarterback, but without that running game, he's forced to make too many plays, in my opinion, too many plays by himself, and I don't think he's that kind of quarterback. Someday he may be, but he's not there now. So after the game, and the Eagles play the Cowboys next Sunday night, I said, well, I got to let the Cowboys fans know that I believe that I was correct, that without Zeke Elliott, who should be suspended, as far as I'm concerned, he could never come back, and I'd be happy with it, it should have been suspended. And what kind of quarterback was he without Zeke Elliott? Now, I know he missed an offensive lineman. Everybody has injuries. I get all that. But he's just not the same quarterback when he can use the running back to kind of not have to force him to be a better quarterback. So that was just my opinion. So I did it last night. I knew I'd get Cowboys fans to respond because they're, in most cases, they're losers. So I knew I'd get them to respond, but who thought that I would have gotten Cole Beasley to respond? I didn't even, like, what is he doing? Why would he respond to me? I'm going to tell you right now, if he wasn't on the Dallas Cowboys, people wouldn't even know he's in the NFL. It's a joke. So, but I responded because I saw what everybody else saw. They are nothing without Zeke Elliott, which is sad because you should be able to have other weapons on your team to be able to get things done.
Howard, I don't know if you know it or not, but that's the dumbest S ever because Dak is that dude. I'm sorry, that was according to Cole Beasley. And what I love about it was you didn't back down. I mean, a lot of times now the media is just going to run for the hills and go, I need a relationship with this guy or that guy, and I'm not going to say anything. But you came right back at him and said, if Dak's that dude, he should be better at feeling and reading the pressure. Easy to give him a pass because of offensive line injuries, but Prescott, not same guy without a running game. The Cowboys got smoked by an ordinary Falcons team. See you next week. Does this mean that you're going to go out and do a couple of one-on-ones and some media sessions with Cole Beasley this week?
Well, I don't know if I'll meet him before the game next week. I will try to. I'm friends with the public relations guy with the Cowboys, so I don't know if he'll think it's better that I don't meet Cole Beasley, but if I see him on the field and and I have a chance to say hello to him, I will introduce myself, and I'm not going to be intimidated by that. He's trying to defend his quarterback, but that was the wrong way to do it. And you know, go out and score some points. I think they got the touchdown. They scored 7 points. Wasn't that the first drive of the game, if I remember correctly?
They
didn't score after the first drive of the game.
Thankfully, except for this year, Houston is basically dialed in on the Texans. But we do have a bunch of Cowboy fans in this area that listen to this station. But yeah, I mean, look, I expected a better showing from the Dallas Cowboys yesterday against an Atlanta team that has been not even close to what they were a year ago when they won the NFC. So definitely a good showing for the Falcons, but not a very good showing, especially at the tackle position for the Dallas Cowboys.
No, it's just the Cowboys were. They were average. They weren't even average. They weren't even an average team yesterday. And the Atlanta Falcons were a good team last year. They're kind of an ordinary team this year. You've seen the way they played. And they have struggled scoring points. They didn't seem to do that yesterday. And their defense has been okay this year. But one player shouldn't have 6 sacks. I mean, that's a joke. That's a joke. I don't care who you are and what you are, and I don't care if you're Michael Strahan, I don't care if you're Reggie White, I don't care who you are, you shouldn't have that many sacks in one game.
Howard, I'm guessing this isn't the worst you've ever gotten into it with a player. What was the worst?
Well, I don't consider any of them worse. I mean, we have Twitter discussions. I've Joel Embiid, the 76ers center.
Sure.
We started on me because I didn't like the way that team was put together, because 4 years of trying to lose is a disgrace, and that's what the former general manager tried to do. So Joel Embiid was defending him, so we got into a little Twitter spat. Torrey Smith, the wide receiver for the Eagles, in a fun way, because he thinks LeBron James is the best player of all time. And I told him, the first question I had is, have you ever seen Michael Jordan? Well, no. I said, then shut up, because he's not the best player of all time. And he's not even in my top 6. So that set him off. But it's fun. I see Torrey all the time. I'm at practice every day. So I wouldn't really call that. But we've had, and I see Joel Embiid, and it's not an adversarial relationship. So I can't remember all of them, because that's not what I live for. I have an opinion. I respond to people. I have stories I put on Twitter. And it just is what it is. So, hey, listen, if somebody comes at me, I'm going to come back at him. I'm sure there's been others, but I can't remember them at this point.
I love it, Howard. Before we let you go, I want to get your opinion, because you're right there, knee-deep in it as well. Obviously, the tragic loss of Roy Halladay, and the fact that this Boston radio guy, mm-hmm. Michael Felger, decided that he was going to try and make him more of the story than Roy Halladay, and took some shots at him. What were your thoughts on all that?
Well, I don't even want to respond to it, because it's not worthy of response. All that guy wanted was attention, and he did it in really just a sad way, a pathetic way. But I really prefer not to respond, because it just doesn't, because all you're doing is giving this guy attention, and that's exactly what he wants.
No, you're absolutely right. We appreciate you spending some time with us. We know you've been doing it for a long time, and you got a whole lot on your plate, so we appreciate it. If you want to follow him, he's a great follow on Twitter, at Howard Eskin. You can also follow him on his website, which is howardeskin.com. Howard, thanks so much, and continued success.
No problem. You guys have a great day.
You too. Howard Eskin on the HR&P Lister line. We appreciate him spending some time. That should be interesting. I would love to see if he does get a couple of minutes with Cole Beasley this week, but I guarantee that Cowboy PR guy is going to be like, probably not a good idea.
Yeah, just bad. Yeah, don't do that. I love those guys, though. Guys like that.
Old school,
I tried,
man. He called most of them losers. I loved it.
He's old school.
I bet our Cowboy listeners are not thrilled with that interview right now.
I would say that you're probably correct.
They're probably seething.
I would think Crystal is one of them.
Oh, Crystal hates that
Collins
guy.
Crystal Collins is stewing somewhere.
But, I mean, what he speaks of is there's some truth in it.
Yeah, no question
about
it.
There is some truth in it.
So, well, it's interesting. We'll try and keep you updated next week after we see how everything plays out this week. Cowboys-Eagles, big game, as the Cowboys still have to play the Eagles twice this year. That could say a lot to what happens in the NFC and East. Depends on, I got to see, where is it at? And
I think they're losing. I think it's
if the first one's in Philly, Dallas. I think they're losing.
I think it's in Dallas.
All right. Well, our picks aren't till later in the week.
Okay.
All right, so right now I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. It's the number one place to go for custom wheels and tires in Houston. And also, if you've got stock rims and tires or a stock rim and tire that's been damaged or you've got a flat and everybody's telling you you got to replace that tire, before you do anything else, give my good friends at American Wheel and Tire a call. They're at 290 and 34th Street just outside the Loop. You can also reach them at AmericanWheelandTire.com. Whether it's Johnny or Jason or Mike, you can get whoever you want on the phone. And they're going to take care of you. They're going to answer your questions honestly, and they're going to look at your vehicle, and they're going to keep you posted throughout the process and trying to see exactly what you need, what you don't need, and only making you pay for what minimally you need to do to make sure you get by with what happened to your tire, your rim, or if you just want to spruce up your car. If you go to AmericanWheelandTire.com, you can see all the great things they've done to vehicles around the Houston area, from lift kits, Kevlar wraps and coating, off-road accessories for your SUV or your pickup truck. They do it all, and they do it all right there on site, and they do it all with a big window in a comfortable waiting room where you can watch the process as it's going on. You can ask questions. They will communicate with you, and you'll want to go back again and again, because we know these big-time wheel and tire stores like to screw you over, and at the end of your visit, you end up with a lot of charges. You don't know why you got them, and you don't know if you needed them, but you know that you're paying for them, and you don't feel very good when you walk out the door. It'll never be that way at American Wheel and Tire. They're going to take care of you. They want you to come back again and again, and they want you to know they've been in the Houston area in business for over 15 years. Check them out, 290 and 34th Street just outside the Loop, or AmericanWheelandTire.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we've got Bill O'Brien audio in just mere minutes as he just got done speaking to the media earlier today.
Let me guess.
It's on him.
I got to do a better job coaching this team, John. Well, Sarah, you know, that's a good question, but I just got to do a better job coaching. Ask me a question. Ask me any question. If you were at a press conference, ask me a question. What question would you ask?
Barry, why didn't you shave this weekend?
Well, you know, that's on me. I've got to do a better job as a man and as a coach. And
Nick,
I've got to coach better.
We've got it on record.
I've got to coach my facial hair better. It's this beard is not, it's not my face's fault. I've got to be a better face coach.
That's great.
Yeah. That's just why even have a press conference? You know what they should do? They should put a poster board out there with a quote that just says, "I've got to coach better," end quote, dash Bill O'Brien. You can ask your questions to the poster board. That's going to be the answer you get, because there's no value in it if he doesn't give you any information.
And after today, do you think we're on to Arizona?
Oh, God. Because
that's a Patriot way.
That's just I feel so sorry for Sarah Barshaw. We got to get her on the show for Wednesday. But I feel so sorry for her to have to sit through stuff like that.
Yeah.
What's the point?
I just don't like all the smoke and mirrors and all the. He's a fluffer. I mean, he's either a fluffer
Porn fluffer?
No. I mean, like, he'll give you fluffy stuff, you mm-hmm. know, he's not going to give you the meat and potatoes. No.
Of course
ever.
Not.
And he's either in a good mood or he's in a horse bleep mood. So, Luke wants to get in here and talk about Texans head coach. What's up?
Yeah, I was thinking about head coaches, and I had three of them pop into my head. And, I mean, I know the first one, Harbaugh, he probably won't leave Michigan, and he probably wouldn't get along with Rick Smith. But then I was thinking, why not give Saban a chance again? And then the other one that popped into my head was, why not Dabo Sweeney?
Who was the second one? Did you say Saban? Who
yeah, you said Nick Saban, yeah, Nick Dabo Saban. Sweeney,
I know
Jim
he
Harbaugh.
Was with the Dolphins. He was like 15 and 17 when he was there. But at the same time, you know, Pete Carroll kind of washed out, if I'm not mistaken, went to USC, went back to the NFL, and he showed up. I think a good quarterback has a lot to do with it, and keeping up. And if Deshaun Watson really is what we all hope he is and think he is, you know, a lot of us, then, you know, I'm pretty sure he can make just about any coach look decent, especially one like Nick Saban, who's known for a good defense, stuff like that. But Dabo Sweeney would be great.
Appreciate the call, Luke.
I know the three
names he brought up. One and a half to two of them are a-holes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want that. I think Dabo's intriguing just because of the fact that he seems like he's a really good dude.
And he loves him still, some Deshaun Watson.
He's still a little younger. But, yeah, he's got a great relationship with both Deshaun Watson
Hopkins.
And DeAndre Hopkins.
Anybody that – what is this quote? Anybody that drafts that kid is getting the Michael Jordan of football or something like that? That's what he said. And you know what? Kind of looks good so far.
He does look good. At the time he said it, I was like, easy, buddy. Pad the brakes.
All right, player. You need to chill. That's right. That what? And I was like, whoa, damn. Maybe he was onto something. But I don't know that – I don't think that that's a guy you're going after. You want a guy that's got some seasoning in the NFL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some that's on the cusp.
Well, Eric Resendez brings up Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is one of those guys that's just tailor-made for college football.
Yeah.
I kind of get the vibe that Bill O'Brien might be. He may not necessarily be tailor-made, but he might be a better fit in the college football realm.
I don't disagree with that, Nick. I really don't.
I'm just saying.
I don't disagree with that because a lot of people has total control. Yeah. What he says is what goes. There is no general manager to deal with. It's him and his staff recruiting.
He's the man.
I think you're absolutely right, Nick.
And he had a lot of people liked what he did at Penn State after the whole paternal situation.
Sure did.
I think it's a great point because from an ego perspective, there's no one above you except.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And even then, you're still the man.
And here's the other thing on the flip side. As much as, and we've talked about how Nick Saban's an a-hole. He was an a-hole with the Dolphins. He was an a-hole. He's an a-hole at Alabama. He's just not a very happy person either. But he's a power guy. And at Alabama, he's got total control and total power. And I don't think he likes the thought of coming to an NFL job where he's going to have to report to two people above him, and they're going to make decisions that he may not agree with, but he will have no say-so in. I don't think he'd fly with that. Look, it's like Calipari in basketball. Unless you completely screw up, you've got the ideal gig. You're going to get multi-million dollar deal after deal. You're going to continue to win because you're going to continue to get every recruit, and everybody's going to be your top of their list. And as long as you don't screw the pooch and you keep winning, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, if I'm saving, I'm never leaving.
No.
You're making money hand over fist.
He had a great deal at LSU that he left.
Yeah.
He's not going to make that mistake again.
And outside Dabo Sweeney having a good relationship with both D-Hop and
there's a lot more to coaching than that.
Yeah, and not only that, his gig, the timing of it is just bad. It's just similar to Nick Saban, not as he's probably not as much as the man in Clemson as Nick Saban is in Alabama, but he's got a really cushy gig right now.
Yeah.
I would expect them, you know, Clemson would have to start losing a few games a year before Dabo Sweeney starts looking elsewhere, I think.
Yeah, and I think in the case of Harbaugh, too, because he mentioned Harbaugh, but I think job security means something. It should be more. I think Saban learned that lesson when he tried the pros the first time. But I think in a guy like Harbaugh, that's his ideal gig. Unless he dies or retires, he's going to have that job forever. He played for Bo Schembechler. He went to Michigan. He's a Michigan guy through and through.
He's home.
Yeah, he's exactly right.
He's home. Yep. Somebody wanted to know, excuse me, where the hell to go? Do you guys agree with him about LeBron not being in the top six? No, no, I think we all agreed to disagree with him on that.
Right. Yeah.
I don't see how you can't have LeBron in your top five, top three.
Now, you and I have gone back and forth on this before, and I say that Michael Jordan, in my mind, is still the greatest player to ever play the game. But you can't argue with LeBron and his stats and the numbers, and he's not done yet,
agree,
that he has to be in the top, if not in the top two, top three.
Yeah, top three, top five even, but six, that means you're making him sixth.
That was a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, because if you say top six, that means he's sixth.
No, he says he wasn't in his top six. That means he's seven or worse. Doesn't that mean that? Or no?
No, I think he said top six, which means... Oh, yeah. No, maybe he did say not in my top six.
Did he say not? I don't remember what he said either.
Yeah.
It sounds too like he formulated a top six that I'd like
that's
to hear.
That's what I'm saying.
That was my next point.
That he probably had six names already in his mind.
Dr. J, Moses Malone.
I guarantee I think he'd put Magic
Bill
and Bird
Russell.
Above it.
Yeah.
And probably Bill Russell because he probably saw him play.
Back in my Naismith.
But if you look
you
at
can't
him,
beat the man.
He didn't look that
the
old.
He looks like Chuck Norris a little bit. Yeah, he doesn't look that old. Not, boy, he sounds totally different.
I'm not saying anything else. He probably whipped my ass. I'm not doing that. That dude sounds like he's from Philly. Those guys can fight or they'll shoot you. I think isn't that the rule? I don't know how it goes. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just making
it up as you go. It's fine.
Thinking about Chicago, man.
Maybe I'm just Chicago, Detroit, Philly, Boston. All those guys. Yeah, they'll all fight or shoot you. That's how it goes. We'll talk more coaching because there's other names being thrown out. And then I caught some heat for saying Marvin Lewis, but I was basing it off of wins, but when you look at winning percentage, we'll talk about that too. Maybe I'll change my mind on the whole Marvin Lewis thing. What I won't change my mind about, though, is how good Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is because it's delicious. And if you've not been out there, you've heard me talking about Cowboys and Indians for months now. And if you haven't gone out there, I don't know what you're waiting for. They're conveniently located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's right there by 45. You hop off, you hop on, you get some good food for lunch. It's a great place to eat because it's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian foods. And I promise you, you're going to love this place. All of the Indian food is authentic family recipes passed down through Haas and his family and perfected by his crew there at Cowboys and Indians. So if you like Indian food, you're going to love this place. But maybe you want to try it, but you want to have some other options. Like, you know, maybe you want chicken curry, but maybe the wife wants chicken fried steak or vice versa. They've got it all. That's the beauty of the fusion of Southern comfort and Indian food. Quesadilla is made with naan bread. Himalayan Heat Burger, which, by the way, I'll tell you, might be one of the best burgers in Houston. Get out there and try it and let me know. Everyone that's gone out there that's tried it has either hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or whatnot and let me know that it exceeded the expectations and that I just can't talk it up enough. That's how good it is. So go check it out for yourself. You need to go during lunch because between 11 and 3, they have an ESPN 97.5 special where you can get a half-pound classic burger with fries, $8.99. You can't beat that. It's so good. The food is delicious. Full-service bar so you can watch the games. And if you don't want to go, you can have it delivered to your house via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. 1901 Taft in Midtown, CNI713 on Facebook. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5.